Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 142 for Monday, November 2nd, 2000 and still 2020.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking, and we have some really good ones for you this week. We're also going to talk about Republicans and how they're soulless shit eaters, but we can still be friends.
And if that wasn't crazy enough, we're going to talk about some crazy news involving a naked sign stealer, an injured thief, Gilligan's Island, and then we'll kind of spend a little bit of time talking about the worst TV theme songs. And then we'll finish the show by talking about horny mosquitoes.
Might as well. Still 2020, but we're, you know, 2 months left, less than 2 months left at this point.
Yeah.
And daylight savings. Now, this is kind of funny because it's actually still daylight savings when we're recording this, because we're recording it the Thursday before.
Right.
But by the time this airs, daylight savings will be over, which means that basically nobody sees the light of day anymore.
It'll be dark. I need to get my light box out.
That's when the PTSD really starts to... Right. Wait, no, not PTSD.
Oh, sad.
Seasonal affective disorder, yeah.
I got the light box. I used to use it a long time ago. I'd get up and I'd set it. And I've been better over the last, probably the last 10, 15 years, but I still drag it around because I paid $300 for it. But I got one of those special, like, I don't know, I was going to say Alaskan light boxes, something like that. It's got the UV in it, so it's supposed to make it feel like sun. So if you need it, I'll send it to you.
Well, that's super nice of you. I have something
$400.
Something kind of similar in my office at work, because in my office I can see light, but it doesn't ever come into my office. So I have this thing, this kind of lamp. It's a touch. It's just like an LED lamp, but it lets off like a really kind of natural sunlighty type of light. And I'll tell you, it makes a big difference, because I can turn it on and it feels like there's actually sunlight in the office.
Yeah,
which, you know, especially this time of year when you're not getting the vitamin D like you do the rest of the year. So it's nice to have. But
Well, plus it's cold. It's crazy time already.
Mm.
It's raining. We got the edge of the hurricane here, but that's it. So it's just been soggy, rainy all day.
See,
thankfully, no snow.
It's just windy. So it's windy here right now. Not wet, but windy. Yeah. So I'm really, really hoping that we don't lose power at any point, but luckily,
do you have a above ground wires?
No, we don't.
Okay, so you should be fine.
You would think. You'd really think. our old house, and maybe I'm just being paranoid, because at our old house, we had the above ground wires at our old house, and
that'll do it.
And it was very common for us to lose power.
Yeah, that's how it was. My house when I was growing up. In college, I think it was when I was there. But the wires were above ground in that general area. Everything was above, and you'd get a really crazy windstorm or something during rain. Yeah, you'd lose it. But I mean, it's rare to lose it here, and everything's underground. Unless they hit something when they're doing some digging or road construction. That's when you get screwed.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's happened before, too. I feel, because in our neighborhood, they're below ground, but then, you know, it goes out to the main roads and they're above ground. And sometimes, I don't know.
Who are the people in your neighborhood? Hey, you know that song? Sesame Street.
It is Sesame Street, Robert. You are correct.
Oh, good. Pretty well, you ready to drink a beer? It's Thursday. Well, I'm tired.
As a matter of fact, I am.
I didn't check in. Where's my phone?
I'm doing that right now.
Ah, damn. See, we've had technical difficulties again. And now. Yeah. Everything is out of order.
So, Kelly's going to be super pumped when I tell her that I need a new MacBook, because although, you know, it'll be fine. I feel like, though, it's 7 years old, almost 8 years old. Like it's at some point it's going to have to happen, but I'm waiting. I want the, I think in rumor is November. So this month now, you know, once this episode airs, there's probably going to be another Apple event where they announce Apple Silicon MacBooks. It's very exciting.
I mean, mine's 5-6 years old, and I was using it the other day, and the battery was just like dying. So I was like, well, you know, I guess I'll need a new one since this one's been confiscated for homeschool.
Yeah, this battery is not great. on this one either. And I think that was part of the problem when I went with my technical difficulties is I plugged it in and then it immediately turned on, which meant that the battery had just completely drained. So it's starting to, you know, it's really pushing the processor these days because, you know, there's the, you know, it's not as powerful of a processor as you know, today's version and the software demands and everything like that. So I think what was happening was probably pushing the processor hard and there wasn't enough reserve in the battery to keep it going. Well, that would be my guess as to why it was giving me a hard time today. But nonetheless, let's talk about
it's beer. Working now.
It's all working right now. That's all that matters.
Oh, and not if you want a new one.
Hey, bartender! It's not that I want a new one. That was really quiet.
It was. You know, it's the same. It's just the. I won't say it. I got in trouble with my words enough today. But yeah, I'll fix the sound.
This is a safe space here.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. It's fine. I'll find the sound thing. Sound. See, it always defaults to too low because I think it wants to make sure that they're not going to, you know, hurt your ears by trying to do something too loud. So they're trying to protect you.
Hey, bartender, another beer.
There it is. I feel like I probably have the hearing of like a 73-year-old though. So I don't know. I feel like my hearing's already going. So I mean, it could take quite a bit of noise to probably hurt my ears. But anyway, I digress. We're talking about beer now, and this week. Going to our friends at Founders.
Oh, of course.
With one of their new brews. Oh, I'm very excited about this. I've had a couple already from the 4-pack that I bought. This is the third that I'm having, and I love it. It's the Big Luscious.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a stout brewed with chocolate and raspberries. That's a rich and robust stout A rich and robust stout serves as the foundation for this decadent dessert beer. Raspberries lend a tart and refreshing sweetness, while the addition of dark chocolate takes it to an indulgent level. Big yet balanced.
Oh yeah,
Big Luscious is perfect for.
Like my, nah, never mind.
I like perfect for. Stop interrupting my beer talk.
Okay,
Big Luscious is perfect for sharing with friends and family, or you can keep it all to yourself, like I am. Don't touch my beer. We won't tell. And so again, Big Luscious stout brewed with chocolate and raspberries. It's 7.8% alcohol by volume, 30 IBUs. It has a rate beer rating of 99. It's available. It's a seasonal, available October through December. And I'm going to refresh my palate here. Oh my God. First off, the raspberry and the chocolate aromas. It's definitely a dessert beer. You can smell the sweetness before even tasting the beer. So it's I love it already. I already know what it tastes like. Holy shit, that's good.
Is it strong? Sweet?
It's very sweet. When they say it's a dessert beer, it really is a dessert beer because it's one like I'll drink one of these, but I'm not going to pound down a 4-pack of them because it's just too like that. I would almost guarantee you'd get a hangover if you drank any more than one of these just because it's so sweet. But strong though. Founders usually does a good job balancing and normally I would say that, you know, this maybe was too much flavor, but it all just works so well together. Strong notes of dark chocolate, strong notes of raspberries playing well together. It reminds me of, I guess, chocolate covered raspberries in a beer form. Really, 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 really good beer. I rated a 5 on Untappd. You know, that I reserve that rating for some of my favorite beers, and this is definitely a phenomenal beer. Again, it's one that you can buy a 4-pack and it'll last a while because you can't just drink a bunch of them, but goddamn, is it a good beer.
It's a 5 for a beer you're only going to have one at a time. That's got to be good then.
But it's, you know, again, it's not that I wouldn't want to have more than one. Right. I just feel like if I drink more than one, it would just be too much sweetness.
Right. Yes. That's how the Southern Tier one. It was the chocolate. white chocolate raspberry, and I felt the exact same way. I don't know that I quite got to a five, but when I had the one, that was it. That was plenty. It was really good.
Yeah, this.
But that was it. So probably very similar.
Yeah, but again, this is one where I the moment I tasted, I said, "Oh shit, that's a five." Yeah. And I'm gonna stick by it. Stick by my five rating. I stand firmly with my 5.0 rating on Untappd for this beer. Again, phenomenal. If you like strong flavors, if you like sweet, desserty beers, holy shit, is this a good one.
Huh. I'm going to try to see if I can find some of that around here. But I've got something that I'm excited about, and I don't know if it's quite as exciting as that, but I think it is. And this is from a brewery called Buffalo Bill's Brewery, and it's not from Buffalo. I think it's in California. It's their Black Pumpkin Oatmeal Stout. So it's the darkest of them all is what the can says, and it's got a nice, cool label on it. And I can't see myself in here. So it's got the dark black pumpkin on there, really cool lettering on it. And it tells us on the website that a creamy oatmeal stout with rich layers of pumpkin, spice, and chocolate accents. Black Pumpkin Oatmeal Stout boasts a smooth roasted malt flavor, subtle sweetness, and the aroma of pumpkin creme brulee. I don't know what the hell that is. 7.9% alcohol by volume and 40 IBUs. It is, almost lost my Chinese iPad here. It is very dark, which I like. I'm going to see if it, I didn't even really read this before to know that it had chocolate in there, but I know I tasted it already. I did taste the pumpkin, but let me see if there's anything else hiding in there.
It sounds good. Nice and dark too. By the way, the big Luscious is also motor oil dark. Got to mention that.
It smells a little bit of the chocolate. Like it's got I don't really smell any of the pumpkin, but.
So there's that.
Now I get the pumpkin and I get the spice on the end. I don't really. There is a little bit of chocolate on the finish, but it's almost like it comes in waves. You get the pumpkin right on the at the front, and then you get some of the spice, and then the chocolate kind of finishes it out. So I like it. I rated it a 4.25. I was really excited to try it, and again, it was only a 4-pack, unfortunately. So I need to get back over. I think I got these at Costco with the beers that I had last week, which were also fantastic. So I think I'm going to have to try to get back over there, and hopefully there's still some of these left. But it is the Black Pumpkin Oatmeal Stout, which if you like oatmeal stouts, this is going to be up your alley. Not too much pumpkin, not too much chocolate, not too much of anything, but just the right amount. And I rated it a 4.25 on Untappd.
Hey, not bad. Two solid brews this week.
Yeah.
And look, that yours looks pretty good too. I think we got some winners. Some weeks we know how to pick our beers.
Yeah, that's good. 7 point, I think it is. That doesn't say here. But this morning I was trying to load the website just to at least put it on our show notes. The website wasn't loading. I was getting very angry, and then finally it did. So I didn't have to send them a scathing tweet.
That's what I do when I'm pissed off at people.
Well, I know. I've seen it. I've seen the things when it popped up. It says, while you're out. And I said, oh, Rob, let me see what Rob's mad at today. It's usually something with your WoW internet, or
I don't have WoW anymore.
Something like a week or so ago, you had something that was going on. I was laughing, but
yeah. Well, you know why? Because what I've discovered,
funny when it's not me,
is what I've discovered is when there's incompetence and it creates a negative experience for a customer, the best thing you can do as a consumer is call their asses out on social media. Because, you know, like I can do a lot of things. I can call and complain and blah, blah, blah. But if you call them out on social media, it's like they have like this, like a duty to respond to it because, you know, you were just talking shit about them and other people can see it. So they're very, very willing to respond and help because you called them out on social media. So that's what I do.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'll have to try that. Usually I just go, and I just put it in the trash. But
that's one way to do it too.
Well, I was just laughing at as you were reading yours. I noticed that I have a lot of notes here, and I came across an episode. I think we talked about it last week. I came across the show notes for that. So it's funny what you'll find in the old notes repository. But Anyhow, you ready to talk about some crazy news?
I am.
Let's see what dumb shit's going on out there that we don't already know about.
Probably a lot.
The video for this one's pretty funny. We'll have the link in the show notes.
Fantastic.
All right. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to scroll down. There's a side story. I'm gonna go through that while you take this one.
Guess the famous full moons.
Yeah, you take this article. I'm gonna be busy for about a minute.
Some butts. All right. Well, this is the cheeks. This first story is not as hot as the side story, but it takes us to New Mexico.
Nude Mexico, Rob.
Where a butt naked guy steals a Biden Harris sign out of a front yard. Because why wear clothes when you're doing that? A man let it all hang out to show his disdain for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in New Mexico. And we do, in fact, mean all of it. Check out this dude walking up to a home in Albuquerque this weekend in the dead of night without a trace of clothing anywhere, dead set on ripping a Biden Harris 2020 sign out of a front yard. It's like a horror movie, Invasion of the Butt Naked Body Snatchers, perhaps. Sure.
Well, show title, that's not too long.
Ain't much more to it. A Ring camera captured the politically charged streaking. The guy went straight for the sign, no hesitation, like he knew it was there and knew what he was going to do.
Yeah, he did.
The sign did not come out of the ground easily, but he eventually got the cardboard off the metal frame. He settled for that because, as they say, naked beggars can't be choosers. Weird stuff. I should say this is from TMZ. That's hence the lax language. So far,
yeah,
he's gotten off scot-free, like his clothing. But the person who posted the video say they're reporting Nature Boy to the police. And as Robert said, there's a video there that shows this man completely naked, just ripping this Biden Harris sign right out of the yard and leaving the metal frame because apparently he couldn't get it out of the yard. Is it me or does he look like a very small man as well?
He is. Did you watch the video?
Well, I haven't yet. I'm going to now.
That is pretty funny. It's sitting in the middle, and I guess their yard is basically dirt because it's in the desert. But
yeah.
He just comes across and it's in the middle of the night, so it's like he's been angry at it. And finally decides to go over there, not realizing that he'd be on camera. But he just walks over there like he had been asleep, realized how angry he was at the sign, and walked over and pulled it out of the ground and left.
Maybe he's naked and he was sleepwalking.
That's what I mean. Well, yeah, that's probably what he did.
Crazy. Is it me? Yeah. Is it just me? Or, like, I don't know. And I'm going to say this. I live and I work in a conservative areas. And so the majority of the people around me, both in both places, are conservative and are Trump supporters. And so I see like a shit ton of Trump 2020 signs everywhere. I don't see a lot of Biden signs, though.
It's because all the naked people are stealing them.
Apparently. Although there is doubt. If I'm going to EL, elderly listener's house, I pass by
Rob.
Two houses where they're next door neighbors. They live near my parents. And one of the houses has probably five or six Biden Harris signs. And their next door neighbor has probably about the same amount of Trump signs in their front yard.
It's a duel.
And I'm just thinking, like, is it like, you know, because you could, like, I'm when it comes to politics, like, I can agree to disagree with people. It's fine.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I am friends with people who are conservative Trump supporters. I don't, you know, just because they're not as smart or intelligent as I am doesn't mean that I don't like them still.
Right.
You know, just because they're racist and their brain is smaller than me doesn't mean that we can't still be friends. I don't hold it.
I don't feel sorry for them.
I don't hold it against them. That you know, that that they're white privileged assholes, that you know, the soulless pieces of shit. Yeah. Like, I don't hold it against them, and we can still be friends. But I feel like those two people, I'm almost wondering, like, are they at war with each other? Like, they hate Probably. Each other, or are they just like kind of like, you know, is it just funny? Like, they're trying to outdo each other with their signs, and they think it's cute and stuff. I don't know.
No, I bet they are. They are secretly battling and probably doing just enough to try to one up the next person. But I'll be surprised to see what happens after. I mean, honestly, I would say Tuesday, but Tuesday's, I don't know that we're going to know much. So, you know, probably going into Wednesday, Thursday, and what happens and how long. Who's the last one to take theirs down? That should be our bet.
Well, I'm just going to go on a limb and say the only way that Biden is going to win this election is if it's by a landslide. Yeah. Like, that's the only way. That's the only way that this election, if Biden is shown as the winner, is going to be over and conceded, is if he wins by such a landslide that, like, Trump has, like, there's just no room to complain that there was voter fraud and that
made a difference. No hanging chads.
Like, I mean, it has to be like an Obama McCain landslide where there's just, it's clear as day who won the election. Chance. So we'll see. Cause if it's close and it's in Biden's favor, there's no way. Trump won't stop until he's stolen the election at that point.
Like Bush Gore way back when with the whole thing with Florida and they couldn't count the votes and they were holding them up and like going by hand through one and just like, well, you know, it's 599 million to 598,999 million that we counted, and you know that's the end of it. It's like I don't know. Yeah, I hope it's not that way.
It's not like the governor of Florida at the time was biased in one direction or the other, right?
No, it wasn't his brother, thankfully.
Good old Jeb.
But anywho, well, shit. This next one was pretty. Pretty
just in
funny,
case we haven't lost half of our listeners already.
I'm listening to you guys to escape this, but you can't escape it. There's nowhere in this fucking country that you can go and escape any of this. So
the good news is probably by the time you're listening to this,
it's either
the day before Election Day, or hopefully after, and this is all a moot point.
how people feel about you at that time
will be different. Irrelevant.
After that, too funny.
Me, the least shitty candidate win.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah, and I've heard that. I've heard that from people say, you know, under duress, this is how I voted for, because, you know, maybe neither one is well, we know for sure one is not that great, and the other one is really, he's a little bit better, but we'll see. But like, and time will tell. You know, we might say, like, this guy is boring, but I think a lot of people really want boring right now. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's the best thing to come up with.
Shit. I did see a guy on TV, though, and they were talking to him. I think it was down in Miami. He was like, oh, this is my first time voting. And he says, oh, yeah, I voted for Trump because it really seems like a businessman is what we need. Like, okay, great. Where have you been the last 4 years?
Exactly.
Anywho, well, we haven't been in Clinton, Tennessee, where this takes us. Our friend Hugh Sieber, who's 50, so I won't tell you he's a little bit older than me, but a clueless thief left his chopped off finger at the scene of an alleged crime.
You guys have matching haircuts, though.
Same look on our face, too. Pointing cops straight to him. Tennessee sheriffs had an easy job tracking down injured Hugh Sieber, 50, as they found his missing finger, his cell phone, and some tools at the victim's property.
He left his finger there.
Yeah. What do you think he was trying to steal there, Rob, in Clinton, Tennessee?
A cow? I don't know.
All right. Well, Anderson County Sheriff's
Office.
That was
not that bad.
Since you're giving up. In Marlow, received a complaint about a stolen log splitter.
That's where he lost his finger.
Probably told deputies that various tools and other things, thankfully it was just his finger, were laying around scattered across the driveway. Plus, in a gruesome discovery, he had found the suspect's severed finger. Along with Sieber's severed digit, police found his cell phone and some tools. I guess he ran out of there pretty quick, huh?
Yeah.
Deputies then checked the local hospitals to track down a patient with a missing finger and ended up leading him straight to Hugh Sieber. ACSO said the alleged thief was dropped off at the Methodist Medical Center emergency room around 4 a.m. with a finger missing. No word about whether he was carrying a Biden sign and wearing pants. Sheriff Russell Barker added that he was very proud of his officer's sleuthing skills for finding the only asshole in the hospital with a missing finger. He joked, "Sieber's finger pointed us right in the direction," which led to him being charged. District Attorney Dave Clark told reporters, "You can't make this up and odd things that we find at crime scene." He was transferred to the UT Medical Center in Knoxville. Anderson County Detective Sean Flynn brought the severed digit and met him there ahead of intricate surgery to reattach it. So I guess he was just going to go and just have him sew it shut. He was going to go completely without his finger. He wasn't going to go back for it.
No, I mean, you can't.
He's since been charged with theft. Son of a bitch. That's probably why he looks so miserable.
Probably.
You can't count to 10 anymore.
Stops at 9. He needs the fingers.
That's right. Every time.
Oh, man.
That's what I think. This is California.
It sure is. And this one is kind of funny. It takes us to Laguna Beach, where investor Bill Gross is accused of blaring Gilligan's Island song on loop to torment his neighbor.
Oh, man, that sucks.
A dispute between Bond King Bill Gross and his next-door neighbor over $1 million outdoor sculpture has devolved into police calls to their Laguna Beach mansions, multiple legal actions, and allegations that the billionaire investor blared Gilligan's Island theme song on a loop at all hours to annoy his neighbor. The PIMCO co-founder and his partner, former professional tennis player Amy Schwartz, are being accused by tech entrepreneur Mark Tofik and his wife of harassment and intentional infliction of emotional distress. The cause, a 22-foot-long bluegrass installation and an even bigger pole and netting sculpture erected to protect it that Tofik said blocked his view, prompting a complaint to the city.
Yeah, I see that.
Oh, man, a block in his view.
I'm mad, too. It's the net, I think. Like, the blue sculpture doesn't really get in the way of anything because he's got a fence, but the big net over it, which is dumb. Why would you cover it? Anyhow.
Yeah, that is kind of dumb. It's another in a long line of bitter quarrels between well-to-do neighbors in Southern California's most expensive neighborhoods who sometimes find that with a coveted address comes deep-pocketed adversaries and little peace of mind. At issue this time is an artwork that can be lighted at night and features cobalt-colored reeds. Wait, is this an advertisement?
No, that's still it.
Oh, it is? Okay. Sorry. Well, it says I'm on reader mode, and this is advertisement in bold, and I was just very confused. At issue this time is an artwork that can be lighted at night and features cobalt-colored reeds stretched nearly 10 feet in height, swimming marlin and globes inspired by traditional blown glass Japanese fishing floats. It was created by Dale Chihuly, an artist whose striking blown glass work adorns the ceiling of Bellagio's hotel lobby in Las Vegas. And I actually know what blown glass they're referring to, because when Kelly and I went to Vegas before the world became a hot fucking mess, we saw those. The lawn sculpture was installed in 2019, and in itself appeared not to foment any trouble. The dispute began when Gross and Schwartz installed netting this year to protect the work after it was damaged, according to legal filings and city records. Gross and Schwartz, in a lawsuit, say more than $50,000 damage apparently caused by a thrown rock is evidence of an escalating campaign of vandalism. Tofik and his wife say it was probably damaged by something falling on it. Redacted emails released to the Times and City of Laguna Beach indicated someone associated with Gross and Schwartz told a code enforcement officer the netting was temporary and was needed to protect the sculpture from trees and Mother Nature, and that palm frond caused $100,000 in damage. And this is a really, really long story.
I was going to say, I think this normally, is the same one that I had, and I skipped it because it was so long. But
and normally, I am one who would refuse to stop reading,
yeah,
because I'm going to finish the story. But what I'm going to do is just skip a whole bunch of stuff,
yeah,
and go to the 10,000 square foot home. Dubbed Rockledge by the Sea features, that doesn't really make sense. It doesn't segue very well. I'm going to read the last two paragraphs. A hearing on Tofik's request to convert the temporary restraining order. So apparently a restraining order was filed into a lengthier civil harassment order is set for November 2nd. We're chomping at the bits here. Meanwhile, Gross has been given extension until November 16th to seek the proper permits for whatever he's seeking permits for, which a spokesman said were being pursued. Neither Tofik nor Gross agreed to be interviewed, according to their representatives. So, super long story short, Mr. Schwartz started blaring. Right? Was it Schwartz? Was blaring Gilligan's Island? See, this is the problem. Wait, it started a fight over. What started as a fight over Long Art in Laguna Beach escalated into complaints that bond investor Bill Gross was playing music, including Gilligan's Island theme songs, so loud it could be heard in his neighbor's home. So Mr. Gross was blaring Gilligan's Island over and over at his neighbor's house at all hours of day and night in an attempt to pay him back for the legal pursuits of his next door neighbor. And I feel like one of them should probably just move. But anyway, this led me to think, I have the worst habit, or I will get a song in my head,
yeah,
and it's always a terrible song. It's never a good song. I'll get a terrible song in my head, and I just cannot get it out. For example, most times when I take a shower, I have the song Cool Jerk in my head. And if you remember from the movie Home Alone, Uncle Frank was singing Cool Jerk in the shower while Kevin McAllister, played by Macaulay Culkin, was recording him with his Walkman recorder. Yeah. And so, therefore, whenever I'm in the shower, I get the song Cool Jerk in my head. Do you have any of those things? Do you have anything, songs in particular, that get caught in your head?
Lately, it's been a lot of the Hamilton songs, because Melissa will either watch it or she's now playing it in the car, like you sang to it a couple weeks ago.
I don't know any of the Hamilton songs.
Years ago, I used to have this thing. You know, you hear, maybe you don't, but I would hear the sound, and the sound was me turning the shower on. So the squeak of turning the knob, and this was an old shower, the squeak of that triggered the Laverne and Shirley song in my head every single day.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Show tunes are the worst, too. Show tunes are the worst of terrible music. And I don't know, when I think of music in general and songs that I can't stand to hear that tend to get stuck in my head, number one I'm going to tell you is that Do You Believe in Love After Love by Cher?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it makes me want to vomit when I hear that song. But that being said, most show tunes, I think, are worse than that.
Well, there's a commercial, and I'll text Melissa and ask her. But there's a commercial that she hears, and what is the commercial you keep hearing in your head? But it's weird. There's a song, and that's really, I think, a lot of times what triggers it. It's the commercials that you hear a song that they've reused for this commercial, and then you hear it, and then all of a sudden it just kind of becomes you hear it all the time, and you can't get it out, and you can't make it stop. But yeah, TV theme songs, usually that sort of thing is what does it. So I agree. You find one that's bad, and it's, you know, starting with Laverne and Shirley is the one that I had, but going to Gilligan's Island is not really that far off.
No, billionaire and his wife, a movie star.
That's right.
Saran Marianne.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that leads us to, so I sent you on a mission, Robert.
Yep.
After I sent you the story, I said, we need to find a list of the worst songs in the world. And it turns out that all the worst songs are actual show tunes. And so what we have here is a list of the worst show tunes. So what we're going to do right now, everybody that's listening, we're going to ruin your fucking day, because I guarantee one of these songs is going to get into your head and you're going to want to just smash your face on your desk or table or whatever hard surface.
Hopefully not wreck your car.
No.
I mean, if you're driving anywhere these days.
Yeah, don't do that. I mean, shit.
Now, do you want to take evens? So you'll be number 10?
Sure.
We won't do the whole list. I think there's probably...
Should we start with 10 and move...
We'll start with 10.
Okay.
And I got the sounds. I'm ready to go.
You do?
Yeah.
Look at you. You did a lot of preparation for this episode, Robert.
You did number 10.
Number 10 is Felicity. And I don't know if you remember, it was from like the late 90s, early 2000s. It had that one chick in it who's kind of hot, like in a mom way. Carrie Russell. Carrie Russell was in it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Felicity.
Nobody did. That's why it's not on. Although it was on for a long time.
What was that? 98 to 2002. So, yeah. I mean, it was in, you know, it was in, what, 4 or 5 seasons?
It was on the WB, though, which is why nobody saw it. Except for those that watched
it. Yeah, there wasn't any actual words. Like, hey, hey, hey. That's right. They just, it's like a Cherokee Indian was just like... in the background, just singing a rain dance or something like that. Singing a rain song.
I feel like I got the best part of this one. So I've got number 9, which is Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling is an American animated television series that originally aired on CBS Saturday mornings when nobody was watching shit from September 14, 1980. Although I was watching a lot of cartoons then, 1985 to December 6, 1986. Yeah. With reruns airing only until 1987.
Yeah, so they wouldn't even run any reruns.
It's actually a pretty cool song.
Fucking definition of the 1980s.
We're watching Cobra Kai. This is very Cobra Kai. It's kind of cool, though. Makes me want to go out and, you know, run around the yard or something.
See, the good news, the first two so far aren't so bad because I have no lyrics that I can get stuck in my head. That's the thing. Like, I'm not going to get this stuck in my head. I'm not going to get from Felicity stuck in my head.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, so far, so good. So far.
This goes on
so
for good. A good four or five minutes.
Yeah, I feel like we should stop, though. All right, number 8, Lamb Chops Play Along, Sherry fucking Lewis. It, as long as it's not like the
if you're into this fun, is the song. You love to play. If you like funny jokes, they put you away.
Christ.
If you like to dance to a slam and sound, and you like having lots of along. Friends around. And if you're one of those kids who lives by the rule that sad is bad and happy is cool. Ooh, little buddy, you're about to see you're in the very best place.
I don't
place
remember there being a rap.
So it's pretty much like Hamilton.
I feel like I wouldn't get this. If I heard this, I would get that fucking song that never ends stuck in my head, though. So Land Trout's drop Play coming Along. On. It's an American half-hour preschool television series that was short on PBS in the U.S. from 1997, as well as YTV in Canada. It was created and hosted by Puppeteer Sherry Lewis. It featured her baggy little puppet character, Lamb Chop. Lamb Chop's Play Along, where kids come to play along and fun things are furry and they kill. Yeah, it's Lamb Chop's Play Along. Join the kids. So,
I feel a drop coming along.
You remember the waiting for that beat to drop.
And you. And especially you.
What I'm more likely to get stuck in my head from that show is, you remember the song that never ends?
No.
This is the song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Some people started singing it not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that does it. It just keeps going on.
Not
going
to do that.
It goes on, Robert, until you kill yourself. That works.
So you run out of breath and it just eventually stops.
Go to number 7. I've never even heard of the song. This show. Though. Yeah.
It was on, I think, Showtime.
Oh, wow.
The L word, Rob.
Oh, some of these bitches probably got naked then. I feel like I should go back and watch it.
They did, Rob, but the L is there for a reason, so they're of no interest to you. The L word is an American-Canadian co-production television drama series portraying the lives of a group of lesbian, bisexual,
I support
straight.
Naked lesbians.
I know. Well, I'm practically a lesbian, Rob. We have the same interests.
Exactly.
And transgender people and their friends, connections, families, and lovers. Oh, there's a lot going on there.
There's a lot.
In the trendy greater Los Angeles, California city of West Hollywood.
Fantastic.
Show originally ran on Showtime. See, I was right. 2004 to 2009.
Wow.
And subsequently in syndication on Logo. In syndication on a demand. On-demand services. Drag
with mustaches. It says it returned to television in 2019 after a hiatus. With long lashes. Yeah. Women who long love lust.
Women who give. This is the way. Still 2 more minutes of this, Rob. Pretty sweet beat, though. Feel like I could drum solo this in the car.
This is actually played by a real lesbian band.
Right? The driving rock solo. I was like that in the closed caption. It'll come up. It'll be, driving riff. Something explaining. But, we can't hear either, so we gotta have the caption on to be able to understand the words.
Do you really put closed caption on?
Yeah, constantly.
Really? Just turn it up!
Still can't understand it. I kind of like this tune, though.
If you are your age and you're already having to turn closed caption on, even though you're not actually medically deaf, hard of hearing.
You can't understand what they say sometimes.
You need better Outlander. Speakers or turn that shit up.
I got
then.
The sound bar.
I'm just saying. There's some. You gotta turn the treble up or something, Turn the mids up so you can hear the words better.
I'm gonna be a lamb chop again.
If you're into fun and you love to play,
I feel like we should move on. Put you away. If you like to dance, we still have less more to do.
What's the next one?
Number 6 is Small Wonder.
Never heard of this.
Small Wonder is an American science fiction.
Who came up
sitcom
with this list? This is stupid.
That aired first run syndication from September 7th, 1985 to May 20th, 1989. The show chronicles the family of a robotics engineer who secretly creates a robot modeled after a human girl, then tries to pass it off as their adopted daughter.
God, I feel like I watched this show.
I feel like this seems familiar to me. She's a small wonder. Lovely and bright and soft curves. She's a small wonder. A child unlike other girls. She's a miracle. And I grant you, I feel like the majority of the terrible ones are from the 80s, right? Like, no good music, hardly any good music came from the 80s. And show tunes definitely were at that head of the pack of shitty 80s music.
Well, yeah, because there's, I don't think they really do songs anymore. I don't think.
Well,
maybe they're shorter now because people
shit like this. Like, I mean, I think of like the Office theme and stuff like that.
Yeah, even that's still from a while back, though. That's still 15 years old now. You know what I mean? So I think anything like new.
The last season of Office was in what?
Right, but early on it was what, 2005, 2006. Yeah. So it's 15 years old. So they would have kept it. They wouldn't have changed it. But anything now, I feel like that it's just going to be really, really short.
Sometimes, I suppose. I don't know.
I don't.
Not the music's not shitty or rememberable. Memorable.
Same thing. Who cares?
Shitty or memorable enough, where I really it sticks out in my mind. But I feel like the Game of Thrones. That's true. A long intro. They go through the whole, like, the map and the different kingdoms. But that's a cool song, though. I like the Game of Thrones.
Well, I think that's probably the difference. And that wasn't network TV, whereas pretty much the majority of these are all, except for the WB. It's not really a network.
All right, number five.
Number five, The Ropers.
Bill, you're really
and I watched a lot of Three's Company. I watched a lot of Three's Company when I was a kid. So The Ropers is an American sitcom that ran from March of 1979. It's not that song. The series is a spinoff of Three's Company and based on the British sitcom George and Mildred.
Oh, I fucking hate this already. Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, ran from 1979 to
1980.
It is bad. Mr. Roper is always mad at something.
Number four.
Yeah. I'll leave that under there while you read it.
I don't want to confuse the listeners. Number four, Veronica's Closet. Now, I don't know, or I don't care what Veronica's Closet is.
Yeah,
because Kirstie Alley to me, she's can't cuckoo. Fucking stand her. Not to mention she's a Trump supporter. And again, I don't care what these vile pieces of shit that support Donald Trump think. Yeah, right.
You wouldn't associate.
I don't care what they say, But again, we could still be friends. But what I will say about Kirstie Alley is she's fucking nuts. Just like most Trump supporters are. I can't stand her. So Veronica's Closet, which is paired with this terrible fucking waste of a song that's playing right now. It's an American sitcom which aired on NBC from 97 to 2000. The show stars Nut Fucking Case, Kirstie Alley, and Veronica Ronnie Chase, the head of her own lingerie company in New York City. And that's all we need to know about that one.
It says more on Wikipedia, but
that's
not going
to go there. That's a terrible song, though.
Jeez. And it was fast, though. It wasn't like the other ones. It seemed like they lasted a long time. But number three, and I've never seen this either, America's Next Top Model from UPN. This is an American reality competition television series. You want to be on top? Created by Tyra Banks. Several women compete for the title of America's Next Top Model, providing them with the opportunity to begin their career in the modeling industry. You're kind of jamming. I feel like she's a little bit crazy, too. Maybe not.
You know what, though? Generally, the way it works, though, is the hotter you are, the more crazy people are generally willing to accept.
Yeah.
which is why I can't at all be crazy, because, you know. Anyway, number two, Jody loves Chachi.
Now, he's a crazy son of a... I mean, he'll sue you if you say that, so I'll retract that.
I mean, Scott Baio was a little bit crazy. But Jody Loves Chachi is an American television spinoff of the American sitcom Happy Days. Great show, by the way. It was originally broadcast on ABC from March 23rd, 1982 to May of 1983. Stars Aaron Moran. Yeah. Scott Baio as the title characters. Joni Cunningham and Chachi Arcola, respectively.
This sounds more like a
Cialis commercial. You hold me in your eyes.
No one ever warned me love just takes you by surprise. I don't know what's come over me.
It was a duet. You got me hypnotized. Kind of like what we do here.
Kind of don't want it to stop.
That was good.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to have to use that one for something else later on. But I'll take number one. And, you know, if if none of those were stuck in your head or as annoying as the Gilligan's Island theme. Oh, man.
This 100% well deserves the number one spot.
I feel like if we were in 100, there'd be 2 through 99 is basically what we just all had a tie for 99. We had 98 that were tied for 99, and this would be number one so far and away on its own as the worst. And if you'll notice that Gilligan's Island, and I'm going to do a quick search here, but Gilligan's not even on this list here, but this song is, and I'll tell you, it's about a friend, Barney. It's a short-lived British TV show centered on the main character Barney and Roger.
I love you.
Despite attracting a cult following, it was considered a relative commercial failure, and the show only lasted one series.
With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you, won't you say you love me too?
What's weird to me, though, is that they say it's a UK series. If I remember very specifically, this was a PBS series. Now, and it was also the theme song for Barney and Friends, which actually went on, and I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, for 14 seasons. So, while you can't necessarily, like, why you do, the, it's a terrible song, you can't necessarily call it a flop, because this shit aired for 14 seasons. And I remember a point where, like, every kid that was, like, preschool age and under was completely fucking obsessed with this godforsaken purple T-Rex.
You love me.
And why, if it's a UK, why isn't it not have their accent?
Be, like, I love you, you love me.
Yeah, it should sound way worse than it does.
It's not, it's not. Yeah, these are some fucking crazy white Americans that say this shit.
Now, I remember this from...
I love you, you love me.
You love me.
We're best friends like friends.
I really do like this, though.
With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you.
It's captioned, too, so I know the words.
You love me, too.
All right, so...
Now, I will say, if they played that, it probably would drive me a lot more crazy than Gilligan's Island.
Oh, 100%. If that was played, I mean, I would burn the guy's house down.
Okay.
So curious. So there's that. All right. Well, and that, again, that was the number 10.
That was exciting.
That was the number 10. Or the top 10.
Number one.
The bottom 10. But that list goes on way further. I'm sure, I mean, I can think of a lot of other show tunes that just are terrible, Full House. And And so anyway, you can view the whole list on by looking at our show notes. We'll put the Ranker link on there. And anyway, yeah, so great stuff. Great stuff. I think it's time to move on, though, to our next story.
Well, our last story is going to take us, since we spent a lot of time there. Well, it's going to take us to Wuhan, Rob. And Wuhan's been in the news quite a bit over the last couple, I would say, couple of weeks, really.
For what?
Really a couple of months. For what? I don't know, Rob. For being in China. But thousands of mosquitoes are inoculated with Viagra.
It's the China virus.
And it's an escape from the high security laboratory. Thousands of genetically modified mosquitoes inoculated with Viagra have potentially escaped from a high security laboratory in Wuhan, China.
Not a laboratory.
Right. The laboratory, the Wuhan Institute of Virology or Virology announced the security breach yesterday, claiming that the genetically modified mosquitoes were harmless to the population. I think that's what they said last time. Dr. Wenzi Yingyin Jing, head researcher at the Institute, warned that the most disturbing side effects of a bite with the one escaped mosquitoes would be a psychological phenomenon or physiological phenomenon that in which too. The penis becomes firm, engorged, and enlarged.
I got a boner. I got a mosquito bite.
Yep. The effects of one mosquito bite can last up to 48 hours.
Yeah.
And symptoms include an increase in libido, a sexual arousal, and possibly a very, very large erection.
How do I procure some of these mosquitoes?
That's right. I feel like I'm going to go play out in a field after a rain. Dr. Wenzi Yingyin Jing, I don't want to screw that up, told the press during a press conference. 187-year-old resident who was hospitalized is believed to have bitten by one of the genetically modified mosquitoes. And he does look old. Yeah. I never watched so much pornography in my entire life. The 87-year-old man told the press after sustaining an erection that lasted 72 hours.
A lot of VHS tapes.
Another patient was also admitted to the Wuhan hospital.
Yeah, their crotches are all blurred out, though. I've seen that stuff.
Right. Yeah, they don't like to show that.
They don't like their
thrown out by security agents after. Another patient was admittedly thrown out by security agents after walking around the hospital naked and masturbating openly in public.
It's not a tauntaun. It's a wampum.
No.
What are you saying? It's a tauntaun. Oh,
we were actually, I will tell you that we were laughing. We were walking around somewhere and Melissa saw something that we were in the little shopping area and they had all these outdoor shops and she said something. And I said, it's a tauntaun. And we just laughed and laughed.
And by the way, this little wampa here is super soft. It's
a tauntaun.
It's a super soft little tauntaun / wampa.
It's a tauntaun.
The young man felt an uncontrollable sexual urge toward men, women, animals, and even plants. And showed symptoms which would be attributed to this particular mosquito, one doctor explained. The other experts have expressed fears that the Wuhan High Security Laboratory were testing on a number of different... Oh, George.
Mr. Cockynuts is here.
That's right. We're testing. I get George here. He's here.
Mr. Cockynuts hears erection. He's got to speak up.
That's right. Where was I? We're testing on a number of different viruses.
Is this rabies,
HIV. And the coronavirus occurs daily, which could have spread amongst the escaped genetically modified mosquitoes and create a supervirus.
I call it a twoot. Trademark. I'll make Mexico pay for that one, too.
Oh, man. Good old pull my finger POTUS. Sorry, I'm looking at all the things.
Shit. Yeah, we were all over the place today.
Oh, and by the way, by the time this airs, Baby Yoda will be back.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Yoda's coming back. Mandalorian
it's
season
a time
2,
time.
30th. It's very exciting.
Tomorrow.
Very exciting. Oh, man. We need a show. Although Kelly and I have been watching Dexter.
Oh, we've been watching Dexter something. Right now. We just fell. I told you. We just finished Cobra Kai.
Oh yeah.
Which was it was pretty bad, but it was good at the same
time. Dexter went on for like 8 seasons or something. That's pretty good. So.
Yeah, that's what it's like. He like chops people up, right?
I mean,
it's kind of like that. Like he's a doctor, I mean,
it's like one of those things. There's a lot more to it than that. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, he works. He's a blood splatter analysis, a blood analysis person at at Miami Police Department. But he also is a serial killer. It's great.
And was that Showtime?
Yes, Showtime series, but it's on Netflix. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering if it's on. Netflix, I know people like it. Maybe we'll try it.
Kelly likes it, and I will say this, Kelly. Like I'm a person who can, like, I can get myself to get into a series, like even if it's not good. Like kind of just want to know where it leads and how it ends, and so I will tend to get into most shows. Kelly's much more selective, though. So, you know, some friends of ours had recommended Dexter, and so we started watching, and we're in season 2 right now. It's a pretty cool show. And again, Kelly's into it. Like, sure, her whole thing was tonight was she's like, hey, hurry up and finish your podcast so we can get the kids to bed and buy pizza Dexter. And watch Dexter. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, maybe we'll look at it. She started some other... She likes every now and then she'll get into these, I'll call them period shows, but the old shows, the, you know, 1700s this, and we finished something recently. It was, but anyhow, I mean, we kind of go in waves and find something. The Cobra Kai was good because Karate Kid came out when I was a kid and she was a kid, but I remember that being my favorite movie. So it was a good series. She watched the last episode without me, so I didn't get to watch it.
And I will say this too, and I don't.
So I can't watch shows with her.
I don't know how Melissa would like it. Maybe she would. Maybe she would. I don't know. But the new Borat movie.
Weird. I did. Oh, I showed her the famous part from that movie.
Which part?
And she was the Giuliani part. She was a little bit taken aback by that.
Was it good? There's this part like the premise is he's trying to sell his daughter to Michael Pence. Yeah, but he calls him like to regain the dignity of Kazakhstan, he won't call him vice president, though. He'll call him vice premier Pence, or at one point he refers to him as vice pussy grabber Pence. and then like he finds out that Pence, like the NRA is having a convention or something, like a rally or something locally, so they jump in the car and he goes, how can I
it's down the road from me?
He goes, how can I blend in this Republican convention? So he walks in just wearing a full on Ku Klux Klan, a KKK garb. He's just walking around thinking that's how he's going to blend in with all these racist Republicans, as he refers to them. I'm not saying that Republicans are racist. I'm just saying that's what he said.
You wouldn't say such a thing.
No, God, no, I whatever. I mean, you know, soulless shit eaters, maybe racist. Possibly not. So, but we can still be friends. So that's good. So it's good. I haven't finished it. I've just been watching a little bit at a time, but I'm cracking my ass up at it. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's highly, highly inappropriate. Hilarious, though. Did we finish the story?
We did.
Okay.
But it made me think about something else. From Ali G, which I think is the same guy. Maybe it's not.
Easy enough.
Good day.
Safe.
What'll be your name?
I'm Dr. George Washington.
What?
Dr. George Washington.
All right. Wicked.
So does vets mainly look after sick animals?
So he's,
no,
he's,
we do a lot of preventive medicine.
He's going to this guy that's a veterinarian.
Some reproductive work and everything.
Why was there so many sick animals in Vietnam?
There wasn't that many sick animals in Vietnam.
But weren't there like millions of Vietnam vets?
You're confusing terminology here. Okay, a veterinarian is a doctor of veterinary medicine. He's a person that treats animals.
For real. So, it's getting it. So loads of people went to Vietnam and then treated animals there.
No, no, no. You're confusing the term.
All right.
I'm a veteran.
I'll send you the video.
But I'm also a veterinarian. Because
guy,
I serve
guy's losing his mind.
As a veterinarian in the military.
For real. So why do so many of those people from the military then later on in life want to start working with animals?
They don't. They can do anything they want to. There's no relation between a veteran of the
veterans
military.
Veterans and veterinarians.
No, I get it. I get the
respect.
I get the.
And you is.
The punch.
I'm both.
Oh, man, that's so confusing. I don't understand it. So to make this clear to young people out there, people who fight in wars is called veterinarians.
No.
People who
are called veterans.
Whatever. Veterans,
whatever.
People who does the animal thing is called veterans.
No, veterinarians.
Veterinarians.
V-E-T-E-R-I-N-A-R. It's veterinarians.
This game is spelled.
When you was a kid, did you know that you wanted to grow up and be a veteran?
The guy, he can't even
well,
respond.
You're still confusing. Just forget the word veteran.
All right.
Please.
How often is animals actually sick, and how often is they faking it just so them can get a day off work?
Animals aren't faking it to get a day off work.
But what does you do if there's like a knock on your door and there's like a goat out there, whatever, and he says he's got flu, but you know he's lying? Does you tell the farmer?
The goat doesn't talk to us. It's the farmer that talks to us.
So is there a lot of sex diseases with animals?
Sex diseases?
There are a few, but not many that's transmitted.
Is that because most animals wear connies?
No.
So is you saying that the man cows just whip it out and jizz over their Babylon? Or what?
No.
So how does they stop getting them preggers? So, is there any...
Not even a response. Oh, good stuff.
It goes on, he just looks, and he's like, I can't even believe that I'm sitting here doing this. But he's trying to be nice to him. But it goes on, it's pretty good.
Nice.
Anyhow, yeah, we're still recording, so let's do a recap.
All right.
All right, well, that's it for episode 142.
Maybe see you next week. Maybe.
You don't know.
Maybe there...
Nothing's for sure at this point.
Yeah. Maybe there will be a new president. Maybe there won't be. Maybe we won't even know. It depends.
Maybe the world won't even exist at that point.
There's a lot going on. Normally, you could probably say by a week from now, in normal circumstances, you'd be able to say, yeah, we're going to know who's the president for the next 4 years. We have no fucking clue. We're probably not going to know. We'll never know who the next president is.
I'm afraid.
All right.
Anyhow, we'll see you then or we won't.
See you next week.
Bye.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.